All right, we're on. Recording. So welcome back after a long hiatus.
Bit of a hiatus.
To Mythmakers, a show all about storytelling, the process, people, and power of story.
Hey.
I am Evan Matthews.
I'm Adam Martin.
Adam.
Hello, Evan. How are you?
We have a special guest with us. Special guest this evening.
Kyler.
Kyler Martin. So my son...
Yes. So together we have our 49 years of experience creating, developing, and delivering content across a wide variety of media. Yep. And let's just get right to it. This is going to be a spoiler
episode. If you have not seen Avengers, what's wrong with you?
Yes.
Why haven't you contributed to the Avengers Endgame $1 billion opening weekend?
We don't want to get beaten up outside of any theater, so we're just going to say once again, spoilers!
Yes.
We are going to absolutely spoil this movie. So if you have not seen Avengers and you don't want to be spoiled by what we're about to talk about, then definitely stop right now.
Yes.
If you don't care, then just keep listening.
It's great. Exactly.
So... let's get right into it. First of all,
fantastic.
Loved it.
Yeah,
it was great.
Yes.
Now Kyler is joining us for a couple of reasons. One is just to bring some actual life and vitality to this show.
Exactly.
But secondly, I understand you actually guessed
a lot of the
kind of particulars of the plot of how this was all going to play out. So talk about how did you piece this together and what did you piece together?
So first of all, what were the pieces you did and how did you work it?
Yeah.
Well, I predicted that there was going to be a Professor Hulk.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. That's amazing, because I didn't see that coming at all, and I was so pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
That Thor was going to be fat.
I did not see that coming at all, and I was so pleasantly surprised.
That was great.
That Captain America was going to fight Captain America.
Didn't see that either. Yeah. That made
sense.
Now,
is that in the comics or not?
Mm-mm.
No. Okay.
How? So then how did you see all this coming?
Fan.
Yeah, I'm a fan too. I didn't see all this coming. What was the magic?
But were you looking at fan stuff or were you looking? Because you pointed some stuff out in the trailer that were very similar. What was the final thing you guessed?
Did look up, there's this guy I watch.
Mm-hmm.
Who does fan theories.
So cheating, yeah.
But I, looking over the trailer, I saw old New York.
Yes.
The one from Avengers.
Yeah.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
And then I thought, maybe Captain America, we'll meet Captain America, and somebody will think that, it's either Loki or they'll think, something like it's not a good Captain America, like it's a bad person trying to pretend like it's a good, like somebody bad trying to pretend like it's Captain America.
Yes,
because I sort of did see we all sort of saw the time travel thing coming,
in some capacity,
some capacity,
but not in the way they did it.
The time heist,
you called them the time heist.
Because you pointed out it was the Morag,
and then they were also leaving the planet from Guardians of the Galaxy in their ship.
Yes.
That I saw. And
you freeze-framed that and showed it to me. And then we compared it to the frame of...
So I think that's amazing. I did not see any of that coming, nor was I working that hard to try to piece it together. Like, I wanted to kind of go in... fresh,
this
kind
is the dark
of unknowing.
Side of homeschool.
Yes. There's so much to unpack in this movie, and we could go in 100 million directions and make a 5-hour podcast. But I will admit, first of all, I cried 4 times at least in
multiple
this movie,
times.
like actual tears.
Yep.
And there were a couple of times where I was so embarrassed by how much I was crying that I was trying to make sure that the person sitting next to me could not tell. At least twice where I was like, oh, yeah.
Right, so which bits made you cry?
So we'll get to that. I mean, it's hard to even say because there were so many of them. But definitely the and, you know, Captain America stuff, which we'll probably get to. Mm-hmm. And then early on, the Spider-Man returning was a moment, definitely.
That was one. The biggest one was all the Avengers coming in, and the Spider-Man. Yeah.
But there Avengers was something about Assemble.
Avengers Assemble.
That was just, yeah. I was sobbing for joy.
I have to see it again, because I'm sure it'll have the same effect, because like there were so many times I was welling up, I can't even pinpoint where they were. But so many emotional moments, and that was one of the things that struck me coming out of the movie, was that, you know, it's like, I mean, Infinity War is arguably slightly a better film, just ever slightly a better film.
Yes.
But this one had so, like, I mean, I love Infinity War. It's an incredibly crafted film, but I will say, just for pure emotional impact, like, this definitely hit me, like, many, many times over. And one of the things, and we'll maybe come back around to this a little bit, but one of the things that I do, you know, for the point of view that we tend to have in these shows, you know, I think there's a ongoing discussion to be had vis-a-vis this movie in regard to entertainment in general, of like, where do you go for absolute logic versus where do you go for emotional impact?
Yes.
Because there are a couple of points in the film where I'm like, oh, like if you really follow the logic through, it doesn't make as much sense.
Yes.
But making the choice for emotional impact, it absolutely makes sense.
Yes.
And so I think like playing the tightrope walk of those two things, like you can see, at least I feel like you can see where potentially there was even a conversation, and hopefully we'll shortly be in a position to have a conversation about this, but you could see where there could have been a conversation in the writing of this movie where you're like, okay, like we can kind of go either way here. We can go for the, like, what really makes the most sense, mm-hmm. versus what's going to have the most impact for the audience, and generally leaning towards what's going to have the most impact for the audience. And I can't say that's a bad choice, because it definitely had that impact for me.
Also, you get to make those choices mm-hmm. in a world in which you've had 11 years of movies, of two movies. So you've had, what, so 11 years, two movies a year, right? 20 mm-hmm. movies at least 2 hours a film.
Yeah, yeah.
So you've had a lot of time.
You've had a lot of time to engage this character,
to build this thing up, and have these then emotional payoffs in a way that wouldn't work. Necessarily,
I mean, we've all heard it and seen it before. I mean, this really is the world's biggest TV show,
yes.
And that's the only other place where that kind of impact happens. I just, you know, as a point of comparison, I just finished rewatching all of Game of Thrones up to this current season, and then being current with the season, and I did find some parallels there where it's like, you know, having that much time with this group of characters that one cares about, you know, the impact of the circumstances of what happens to those characters does have more resonance. And I think we get that impact in the Marvel Cinematic Universe in a way that, you know, it really is, again, like in the world's biggest TV show, because we've built that, you know, relationship with these characters over such a long period of time.
Yes.
So, all right, getting back to the actual Endgame itself. So let's kind of start with, I mean, you've seen the movie, so you know, we're assuming you've seen the movie, yes. So you know what happens, but you know, they got their one coincidence. They got their one, you know, happy accident, which is the rat bringing Ant-Man back, which then motivates the entire thing.
They set the tone incredibly well mm-hmm. with the very first scene, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So, like, you realize this is a drama.
Yes.
In the first scene where you've got Hawkeye in the field with his daughter and his whole family.
Yes, who then disappears. Yes. So, and that's what I was starting to get to with, like, this movie versus Infinity War. And I can't wait to be able to watch them back-to-back, because while Infinity War is, you know, and they've talked about this, but it very much is like, okay, let's spend our time learning who this villain is, understanding who this villain is, and actually, you know, humanizing in a way.
I think that was amazing. Thanos is. Infinity War was Thanos' story.
Yes,
I think that was
exactly
exceptionally
incredibly well done, and so necessary, because we know these heroes. So, like, give us the other side of this, and I think that's what makes Thanos such a good villain, even in this movie too. Is like, now we know who he is, why he's doing what he's doing. We actually have some empathy, and actually I think we can make an argument for why what he did makes sense, you know, why there is a world where, you know, if those things happened, like, that could be a better world. Like, we can see that point of view.
Exactly. Yep.
No, and so then that allows us to take this and kind of flip back to now, okay, we understand all of that. Now we're back on the side of the heroes from their points of view. Kind of like we're back with the aftermath of all of this. You know, the human cost, not the greater good, necessarily.
Yes, right, exactly.
And so while we could still make an argument for what Thanos did ultimately being potentially for the greater good, now we're back into the you know, the individual emotional cost that that created. And so now we get to kind of deal with it from that point of view.
Yeah, no, it was great. And I loved the immediate, like, execution of
Thanos. Yes. So within what, 10 minutes?
Yeah.
Thanos has been killed by Captain Marvel and Thor. Which was brilliant.
Yeah. And again, now, logically speaking, slightly beg the question, what the hell did they do to Professor Rock?
They didn't have Captain Marvel, and he said he should have gone through for the head. So he did.
But that is an issue with Infinity War, where Thor's running around blowing up spaceships when he should be fighting Thanos.
Right.
Yes.
But he's got to call Rocket Rabbit a few more times to make it fun.
Right, exactly. Ah, that was so great.
He's now in Guardians of the Galaxy.
And now he's in Guardians of the Galaxy.
I would love it if they actually called Guardians of the Galaxy 3 as Guardians of the Galaxy. They won't, but it would be hilarious. It would be
very funny.
Yes. So, all right. So we're going to just kind of end up jumping around. But so, Kyler, you also called Fat Thor, right? So you were... So how did you call that? Because I did not see that coming at all, and I thought it was an amazing and hilarious part of this movie.
In the comics, he does retire.
Yeah.
Fat Thor was sort of a guess, but, like, he does grow a beard.
Yeah.
And I thought Fat Thor would be funny.
Yes.
Yes.
And it is.
Fat Thor. You did. And then I realized, you 100% said
Fat Thor. It sounds like it would lisp. Apart from that.
Yes.
I also saw, I didn't tell you this, but I saw Captain America holding the shield. That was...
You mean the hammer?
The hammer.
Yeah. Yes. Well, that actually does come from the comics. Yeah. There are several times where he's come from the comics. But I loved what a great payoff from Avengers 2.
Where he
moves it just a tiny bit.
Yes.
And I loved the way they played that, too, where Thor was happy about it as opposed to...
He's like, I knew it.
Yeah, exactly.
That was really good.
Whereas he plays it so comically, beautifully in Avengers 2, where he's like, uh-oh.
Oh, right. Yeah, that was great.
Yeah.
And I love... I've just lost it. No. So, all right. Coming back to the whole fire.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, Loki disappearing with the space stone at the end of Avengers.
Did that bring him back?
Yes.
So... He is now
So this has to go to the law, the rules of time in this movie and the implications that are created as a result of that, because they spend a lot of time talking about how the general rules of movie time travel do not apply, specifically Back to the Future, Time Cop, et cetera, et cetera. So it's okay to interact with your previous selves. Like, the key thing in the Marvel time mythos, is that, you know, you can that basically you're not creating... Whatever you do in the past is not changing the future.
Right.
Instead, it is creating these sort of alternate timelines.
These branches.
And that's a problem.
Yes.
So the Ancient One specifically says, like, you know, I'm not going to give you the Time Stone because it creates these kind of branches of time, which are hugely problematic.
What we hear in Future Man.
Yes.
Which is wonderful.
Yes.
Remember the end of Future Man, which is about all these, like, alternate versions of yous? That went, if you didn't change your timeline, it still exists. You just created a new timeline where it didn't exist. Doesn't stop it from happening over here.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, so, but then there are some interesting question marks and contradictions to that in this film in and of itself. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so basically, you know, you've seen the movie, but just to recap. So they're going to take Pym particles, which are the microverse, you know, whatever it's called, the
quantum realm
from Ant-Man, use that to jump through time. Basically, they have a limited amount of them to be able to do that. And so that becomes an issue and a plot point.
Mm-hmm.
And so they go on this kind of, we can go one and come back. They're trying to go steal all the Infinity Gems before Thanos can get them. And then use those to basically re-snap everybody back that has disappeared. So they basically go through a series of events. They accomplish that. We get America's ass, and which is a great moment. Yeah. And but in the midst of it, yes, Loki grabs the Tesseract and disappears. So that essentially means Loki is now back alive. In an alternate universe with an alternate version of the Tesseract. Now, we know that there's a Loki TV show coming to the Amazon, to Disney Plus. So that's, we know there's a Loki and Scarlet Witch show. So I'm assuming we're going to get bad Loki back because he's that version of Loki has not gone through the... that we found when he was killed in Infinity War. So this does beg the question of how do they reintegrate these characters? And that's where, we were talking about earlier, it's like Scarlet Witch. So, again, massive spoiler, dies to get the Soul Stone.
Right.
But if Loki can be alive somehow. Yeah, sacrifices herself.
Not Scarlet Witch, Black Widow.
Black Widow's there. Yes, sorry. Yes, Black Widow sacrificed herself to get the Soul Stone. So, it's but we've got this alternate version of Loki who is going to somehow come back into this timeline. Mm-hmm. You've got Gamora, who now is in this timeline, who had previously died. It's her previous self in this timeline.
Yes.
So there is some wiggle room here that we haven't fully explored or understood. And then the massive thing which I want to talk about is what happens. So we should talk about kind of the resolutions of each of the main characters, but jumping ahead to Captain America. So one of the most, I think, beautiful moments of the film, and I think so well played both in the hands of the film itself and also in the marketing department in that I think they really did a lot to make us think that Cap was going to die in the massive battle in some way. And it's so beautifully done that he doesn't.
No.
And that he gets to live out his life with Agent Carter.
Yes. Except,
although this is where it gets really interesting because we never, we knew that Agent Carter was married, but they never said who she was married to.
Ooh.
And she has the picture of Cap on her desk when he goes back in time. So I think there's a very strong argument that she was always married to him.
Oh.
And then when he shows up in the hospital, when she's an old woman and she says, "You've come back to me."
Yes.
That's her seeing this young version of Captain America having come back to her, having been married to him for all this time. So there's a case to be made that this is Captain America has literally been in both timelines simultaneously.
Oh, that's interesting.
And there's nothing to contradict that.
Except that means he's made out with his daughter.
Well, his niece or whatever. It's not his daughter. His
No, it's his daughter.
No, it's not his daughter. It's not it's his daughter. No, it's not. It's not. Daughter. No, it's not. I looked this up. It's not. Really? It's not. It's not. It's like okay. It's like it's a niece or something like that. It's not his actual daughter. It's but still regardless, creepy. Still creepy. Yes.
It's like in the still, Luke Leia yes, realm.
But it is. But it's in the Luke Leia realm. It's not in the Lannister realm. So that's it's an important distinction. But I think there's a very strong case to be made that Cap actually exists in both timelines, and if that's the case, that means there's interesting flexibility around the way all this time travel works. The problem
is all this thing is now achieved because they can now bring any character they want to back.
Sort of.
Because they can go use pinpods with, "Hey, Tony Stark, circa 2010.
It's true.
We need your brains."
But then I think that, so this is where it does get very interesting because, so I think Cap, assuming that this theory is correct, that he has actually existed in both timelines, then he's also been very careful to be invisible in the second timeline, in the where and where he gets to be with Peggy.
Yes.
So, it's Falcon says, "You want to tell me about her?" "No, not really." So it's you could read all those things as, character moments, but also as it's important that nobody knows this. And so, if the Ancient One is concerned about these kind of splintered timelines, then he's really kind of cheating the rules, but potentially able to do so by being, by keeping himself invisible, essentially.
Right. Yeah. That makes sense.
So I think, you know, yes. you're opening a much bigger can of worms if you go back to Tony circa Iron Man 1 going, right. like, hey, we need your help. yeah. Come with me if you want to live.
Right, right, right. mm-hmm. No, it's true. Yes.
But it does make these rules kind of interesting. Uh-huh. And that's, you know, so I think that is an area where we may see that be intentional. It feels like Marvel has been so intentional with so much mm-hmm. of this that it's hard not to feel like everything is intentional. Mm-hmm. It does open the possibility of, like, you know, how could, so, you know, we were talking about earlier, it's like, we know there's a Scarlet Witch, I keep saying Scarlet Witch, we know there's a Black Widow movie coming,
yep.
it's on the slate, so is that a prequel, or do they somehow, you know, is there a way to bring her back, or to have a different version of her, or, you know, it's like, how does that potentially function in the Marvel Universe? Because it feels weird to me that if we're now moving into phase four. We're now moving into phase four post the next Spider-Man movie.
Right.
Then why would you do a prequel of Black Widow as part of phase four? Like, we've right. told that story. So,
and prequels don't work. And
prequels generally don't work. So,
as we saw in
the Yeah, story. Exactly. So, you know, that feels very odd to me that would be a prequel. So if it's not a prequel, then there's got to be some way that they're that she's you know, somehow coming back
Solo
to
wasn't terrible.
The fold.
Solo was pretty bad.
It wasn't terrible. It wasn't good.
You liked it, right? You quite enjoyed it.
That's a different conversation.
Yes.
Yeah. We have a divergent opinion on Solo.
But they
apparently.
Do. Back with
prequels. Yes. They definitely. Rogue One was fantastic. All right. We're going into Star Wars divergent territory here.
Was filling yes. in yes. an untold yes. story.
Here, the problem with Solo is not that it's. So look,
yes.
in my opinion, okay, total tangent yes. here. In my opinion, yeah. the problem with Solo is not that it's a sequel. The problem is that you destroy the character. So,
you destroy the character, and there's no jeopardy in any of the
It's true.
Because you know he's going to He's
I care less, but to me, so this is where you know, we think, I agree with you, you know he's going to live, but you could tell an amazing story that I don't know.
Yes.
And know that he's going to live, and still have stakes and care about other characters within the context of that story.
Yes.
But for me, the reason that Solo didn't work is that, you know, we meet Han Solo in Star Wars Episode 4 as this kind of roguish, you know, bad guy, amoral guy,
yes.
that we don't know what he's going to do. So it's like that whole movie, the whole resolution of Star Wars Episode 4 hinges on, is Han Solo gone?
Yes.
Or does he care? And we don't know that until he comes back and saves Luke, and then right. Luke blows up the Death Star.
Yes.
Like, that's the whole resolution of the movie. So now you take this prequel of Solo and go, oh no, he was a good guy the whole time.
Yeah.
So we know he's going to come back. So you've destroyed that character by doing that. Yeah. That's my problem. Anyway, all right, back to Avengers.
Shouldn't Kira and Darth Maul come back?
Kira
and Darth Maul come back. Because they made it seem like...
Well, Darth Maul is back.
Darth Maul is back.
Not in the movies.
Yeah, absolutely in the movies.
And Star Wars Episode 9?
Well, no. We probably won't see him in Episode 9, but he's running the Crimson whatever, you know, cartel at this point.
Although, that would be amazing.
It would be amazing.
Darth Maul came back with rower legs.
Yes,
back in the books.
Well, no, he's back in the cartoons. He's canonically back in the in the series. Yeah,
it's just
But they made it like he's gonna come back in.
I don't think he's gonna come back in that. I think that would muddy the waters too much. Unfortunately,
the Emperor will be back for sure.
The Emperor will be back. Yes,
they did get one thing.
Welcome to the Star Wars podcast.
Well, everything goes back to Star Wars, right?
I mean, Solo does take the shot. He doesn't.
I will say, seeing the trailer for Rise of Skywalker in IMAX was pretty cool.
It was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Although, actually...
Godzilla.
Yes. All right,
like,
so...
as a piece of Iron Man, if you didn't see it...
Oh, my God.
So, if you didn't see Avengers
Endgame.
In IMAX...
Yep.
It's worth seeing it in IMAX.
Absolutely.
And it was shot in IMAX, so it's more of a screen.
Yeah.
And
It
has a Godzilla extended clip. Godzilla prequel
yes.
clip
yes.
with Ghidorah coming out of the ice.
Yeah.
in spectacular fashion.
Oh, it's incredible. I my mouth was agape in that trailer. Like, all the trailers we saw were cool. Oh, yeah. The Godzilla one, far, like, head and shoulders was like, oh my god, this and looks amazing. I hope
it
amazing.
Does, well, it does look stunning.
I'm really
it does.
Excited for Hobbs and Shaw.
Hobbs and
that
Ford,
looks great
yes.
as well. Looks like a lot of fun. Yeah.
Yep. No, it's going to be good.
Okay, so back to Avengers.
Back to Avengers.
All right, so they go through all this time travel stuff. You know, we learn the rules of time travel. I loved the integrated Hulk. I did not see that coming, Kyler. But
it was
in
the comics.
It was in the comics. And there's a Mr. Fix-It version of the Hulk in the comics, which is Grey Hulk, which I love, which is also integrated kind of Banner and Hulk. But I love the way they played it, and like him being the celebrity, and like, you know, the kids coming over to take it. Like,
I want to see
like,
behind the scenes, because I was like thinking about, all right, how do they do that with
him? Yeah, yeah.
And I suspect they have Mark Ruffalo on
set. Oh, it's got to be the same as...
With the doctor's face with the weird extended thing over his head.
Yeah,
and probably with longer arms.
Right, yeah.
So that he can be waving stuff.
Well, I assume... I mean, that's got to be the same as Thanos, too. Like, you got to have Josh Brolin there to do the performance. Yes. And then, you know, you create
with the face capture, but with the eye line going to the head over his head.
Oh. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, one problem.
Yeah.
I did not care about Thanos in this one.
Oh, really? See, I did not feel that way. I thought because we knew him from the previous film, like, I still felt like that residually carried over for me.
Right.
And then I think, you know, what worked is, like, then he went into such kind of bad guy mode that we were perfectly happy to have them fight him to the death. And then I thought, like, the moment... at the end where like he knows he's lost and he just sits down and you get this kind of like last moment with him where he's like acceptance of kind of like I tried and I failed. Like, I thought that worked beautifully. I thought that paid off the character in a nice way.
Because in the first one you actually care about him like a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I thought in this one, obviously we know about him and we already know his backstory because Avengers Infinity War was that. But I still think they should have made him a bit more.
Well, but it's also earlier Thanos. So this is him in, like, full-on prime Mad Titan, you know, mode. So I think he is meant to be... I think you're right, but I think he's meant to be much more the bad guy.
He's a much more two-dimensional character.
Yeah.
So we got
and I think we had... I think we had to do that, too, because I think... And this is why I think it'll be so interesting and fun to watch these two back-to-back, because it is sort of this interesting flip-flop of, like... you know, really where you're focused. So it's like, you know, Infinity War really is focused on Thanos, whereas now we have returned our focus to the Avengers. And so, you know, from their point of view, he absolutely is the bad guy. And so, you know, I think you kind of get that kind of interesting interplay between the two sides of that coin. And this is, I mean, this is a 6-hour movie. This is really not two separate movies. And this, again, why it'd be fun to watch it back to back. They're very different, but I think it really is a 6-hour movie.
Oh, no question. You know? And I think it'll work in that way.
Yeah, yeah.
Honestly, much the same way as Lord of the Rings. I mean, I think Lord of the Rings movies are better.
Yeah, like,
but, those Lord of the Rings, the original Lord of the Rings films work as a 10-hour thing, which is amazing.
All right, so let's just do a quick rundown of where all of our main characters are. So
Black Captain America.
Yes. Talked about Cap. So Captain America turns over the shield and the mantle of Captain America to Falcon, which is a comics thing as well, which I love.
Yes, that was
because one of the big questions, obviously, is where do we go in Phase 4 with the Avengers, with each of these main characters? So that, you know, Captain America's path is at least clear, and I really did love the way they played that with Bucky as well, where it's like, you know, you could have gone either way, and in the comics it does go both ways. Like, you get a time period with Falcon as Captain America, you get a time where Bucky has taken over the mantle of Captain America. So, you know, I think that was intentionally kind of played with, like, oh, it could go either way. And then I kind of love the fact that Bucky was like, you're up, like, it's you. Mm-hmm. And I mean, not like it would have made any difference, but like that, I thought that was well played that way. A little bit of fun fan service there.
Did you see Captain Marvel?
I have not seen Captain Marvel. Let's not tell anyone. However, that does bring up a point as well, which is I went into this movie feeling concerned that I hadn't seen Captain Marvel.
Oh, you don't.
And there is no reason that I needed to see Captain Marvel for this movie. So, like, she was cool in the movie, but there was nothing that I felt like I missed by having not seen that movie, other than, like, I kind of know the general character from the comics. And
they got Rutherford in a good way, too.
Yeah,
because she's too overpowered.
Yeah,
so they so they made her go save another world.
Yes.
Yeah,
she's I did get that, but I also I felt it was a bit wimpy to just have a oh hey, we're gonna go on this time heist and we can't just call we need help.
Right,
it's
only the fate of the multiverse. You know, you know, maybe
so, what you're doing on Dagora.
But
you may as well like go back and save all the worlds.
Right, right.
Yes.
No, I think that's very valid, and I did have that thought as well. Of like, you know, if you're gonna go on this time heist, like, you know. Yeah, it's nice to have Hawkeye, but, you know, maybe we could have the most powerful person in the universe instead.
Who still can't beat Thanos, which I don't understand.
Right.
So,
that was a bit weird, because Thanos didn't have his glove.
No, but he did. That's the only reason that he could beat her, is that he did have the Infinity Gauntlet, and I thought that was actually kind of cool.
Oh, yeah.
It's like she would have beaten him, but he pulled out the Power Stone or whatever it was and used that to hit her, and that was overpowering to her. And I think that makes sense. The Infinity Stones are the kind of more powerful than she is.
But you she is a living Infinity Stone.
Who's more powerful?
Well, I didn't know that.
Vision?
Thanks a lot.
More powerful, Vision? No, Captain Marvel's much more powerful.
Yeah, for sure.
But
yeah.
He's literally a living
Infinity Stone.
Infinity Stone.
Well, I didn't know that.
Vision.
No.
Vision. Oh, Vision. Is.
Yeah.
Well, he's not a living Infinity Stone. He's got the Mind Stone as part of him.
Zep-Zep.
And they made a point of talking about like you could separate the two. So.
All right, you gotta spoil Captain.
You can't spoil.
No,
you can't spoil Captain. She wasn't important enough in this movie for you to spoil Captain Marvel for me.
I loved it.
You did.
Yeah. I suspect I will like it very much as well.
I enjoyed it. It wasn't up to snuff.
Yes.
It was great. It was amazing.
All right. So there we go. So we go. We don't need to spoil it. We have multiple opinions.
Yeah, right. So there's a whole like. That was awfully convenient. And they did discuss this in some interview I heard, obviously, where they were saying, well, how do you get rid of her because she's so powerful?
Right.
Which I do. They achieve that.
Yeah, and you do get the moment of her arriving at the right moment, which is also kind of
coolly
cinematic. Yeah, yeah.
That was awesome. They were shooting at random things.
Yes, it's true. It's true.
That was awesome.
I mean, I guess that's true. There are all of the heroes arriving at the right time is
Kind
of
that was emotionally
very good. Yes.
That was very satisfying.
Yeah, the fun.
Yes.
I love the opening up the portals into Wakanda.
Yes. Yes,
Wakanda's
cool.
Coming to them.
Yeah, and I like Spidey's kill. We paid off the kill mode from. Spider-Man kill mode.
Red.
I mean, there were so many little payoffs like that that were so great. Like, if you've seen the other movies, just these like little moments. Like every main character got at least one little moment.
They got that moment,
which was pretty fantastic.
One of the best parts. So when they were first trying out the time machine,
yes,
Ant-Man goes in and he's coming out and he comes out as the baby, he comes out as the old man, and he comes out as like the kid.
Yeah,
that was brilliant.
That was great. Yeah,
that was equivalent of the suitcase.
Yes,
in Umbrella Academy.
Yes, absolutely. Right.
Yeah.
So then the other big question though going into Phase 4 is that we're 5 years in the future.
Yes.
So in theory, are we 5 years in the future from now? Going into Phase 4? Because, I mean, they did not change the timeline. So, after the snap, I mean, that's 2024.
Right.
So, in theory, we're now in 2024. So, the movies coming up, you know, Far From Home,
have to be
2024.
Except they would have been kind of slightly frozen in time because of the snap, and you would get away with no real technological advances.
Oh, no, for sure. I think that's
the same.
No, absolutely. No, I think it's fine that it's the same world. I just think it's interesting that, in theory, like Spider-Man Far From Home literally is happening in 2024.
Yes, no, he's right? Totally right.
In the comics, when he snaps, he literally blows up half the world.
It's true.
He goes boom. And then it zooms out. Well, not
in the Infinity
Gauntlet.
Infinity Wars,
And like half the world's blown up. And it's
It's a little more destructive. It's also Thanos trying to court death, which is a whole different
thing. And, yeah. In the comic, there's no like big battle to try to stop him. Yeah. He's just with death, and he's like, ready?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Mary Jane.
But I, you know, and then so all right. So I think that's an interesting question to answer. It's kind of like, you know, they actually pay such close attention to the years in this. It's like, oh, it's, you know, I forgot now, but it's like, you know, whatever the year was when Avengers 1 came out, when we go back to Avengers. Yes. And such great moments where you get like the turnaround, the camera panning around the group when you get kind of remind you of that moment in Avengers. Yes. And then the Divergent, you know, so Back to the Future moments where you're like, you know, kind of almost backstage of like different areas.
Well,
like,
I loved Hulk watching Hulk and Hulk Smash mode.
Yes.
That's just yes. Very embarrassing.
Yeah, and then he's just like, yeah, no, that was great.
That was very funny.
And the Hail Hydra moment with Captain America.
Other than the fact that Frank Grillo was there,
yes,
he was CGI.
No, I'm sure they brought him in.
Yeah,
I just on a personal level loathe Frank Grillo. So it was just like and it was kind of great to see him back.
Nice final Stan Lee cameo in the 70s. It's pretty fun.
Are they gonna keep doing him as CGI?
No, they're not. This is apparently the final Stan Lee cameo.
Not even Spider-Man.
He wasn't
Spider-Verse. Now I think if it's animated that's different, but I think, you know, as a live action movie, I don't think that'll be putting him into anymore.
No, I mean Far From Home. I doubt
he'll have a cameo in Far From Home, because I think they're not gonna create new cameos. It's kind of like the Princess Leia question in Star Wars. It's like, you know, they're using footage from the previous two movies to create something for episode 9, but they're not gonna CG her into new movies, which I think
they have to, like,
is pretty much the right call. Animate her voice too.
For Leia?
Or no,
for
like,
anybody?
If anybody died, like, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't they have to, like, do their voice too?
Yeah.
And skip.
So the voice acting is easier than the face. Mm-hmm. Like, we saw that both in, we saw it in Rogue One twice.
Yeah.
We saw
it
with Tark and we saw it with Leia.
Yeah. Now, I will say, once again, this is a weird, it's like, this is, again, a weird tangent, but it's like, the CG in this movie is flawless.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and ILM is doing it. Like, I was looking in the credits, so it's like the biggest visual effects company in these Avengers movies is ILM. So why the heck is this better than the Star Wars movies in some regards?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's really bothering me.
I also guessed that Captain Marvel would save Nebula and Iron Man.
Oh, yeah. Very cool. The Nebula journey is interesting, too. And so there's another... that's another kind of twist on what we generally accept as the time, you know, rules of movies, is that, you know, new Nebula could kill old Nebula without repercussion in the current timeline.
That was very cool.
It's the, you know, the distinction. It's not the Back to the Future rules of changing the past changes the future. Yes.
Oh, I love that.
It's interesting.
I love
and
that.
Great. Yeah.
Oh, they're basing the time travel on like hot tub time machine.
Right. Yes, that was fantastic.
I'm like, Back to the Future lied to us?
Yeah. No, it's pretty great.
That was very funny. Yeah. And I loved, I did love the reunion with Quill and
And Gamora. Yeah.
Which you like, knees of shit. Wait. I chose him? Yeah, well,
him or a tree. Yes, so good.
Beautiful.
Oh. Valkyrie is back. I love those moments.
Right, but where did she find Pegasus from? I'm sorry.
Well, I did have the same thought, but, you know, fine. You know, we'll accept
it. Frankly, Valkyries don't fly around on Pegasi. They could just appear.
Except she does in all the comics. So in all the Thor comics, the classic Walter Simon Thor comics, Valkyries are on Pegasi.
And Pepper Potts. Yeah.
That was a teary-eyed moment for me.
When
she shows up and, like, you know, she's fighting alongside Iron Man, like, that was a teary-eyed moment for me.
I love the girl power moment of, like, Tom Holland with a glove.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. No. So great. Yeah.
No, that part was a bit because I mean, right before that scene happened, Captain Marvel just flew right through.
Yes. Thanos' ship. Yeah. Yeah.
And then Spider-Man's like, excuse me, Miss, but how are you going to get through that? She easily just could have been
totally right.
But they had to have that moment.
Of course.
Where Shuri comes in.
Yep. Yeah.
Everybody.
No, so it was so great. When everyone started reappearing and it was all the Doctor Strange portals and everything.
Yeah, that was amazing.
So great. Yeah.
No, I loved
the kind of like, you know, so in all the versions, this is the one where we win, and he's like, I can't tell you, and then that like he holds up the one finger to say like, this is it. That was great. It was all really well played.
Oh, one thing, and this is in like every single Spider-Man movie. What is he hanging on to? Like he's swinging.
He's catching up space whales and stuff.
I hadn't even thought of that.
Yeah,
absolutely right.
Like actually, no, he zips it and then look, sort of that.
In the wide shot, there's like 5,000 things floating in the air.
There's that scene where they're like they're running like a normal like the movies where the Thanos' army and the good guys are running together, and Spider-Man's like.
Yeah.
And it's just like, what is he hanging on to?
Yeah, the other like, things are over by Thanos' army. Like, there's nothing over here.
I'm gonna,
you need a basic trigonometry. You need a pivot point overhead.
Okay, fine.
To be able to get
fine. Technically correct. Maths. But I'm gonna assume that there's enough stuff flying around in the air.
A convenient space whale.
Yes, exactly.
It's not gonna bite me when I hang on to this flipper.
That space whale is not concerned.
It's more like a space seal.
Yeah, but it's like, if all that's happening is like this, you know, you're not concerned with like that.
And then he's gonna go,
and he does.
Yeah, but even if he was hanging on to one of those little spaceships, they were moving.
So it's true.
But they're moving very slowly. They're like unmoving.
Exactly. So you can do this. It's like, it's a sine curve through the air. Can I get
okay.
A good point?
All right. Fine.
Good point.
You know, we're in the Marvel universe. It's okay. Spider-Man can swing on stuff.
And I love.
It's not quite as bad as Andrew Garfield swinging on cranes.
Okay, this is true.
Thank you.
I love how they use Thor's hammer as like a transportation device.
Catch,
and he's like,
yeah. I did. So two things with that. One is I loved the, I thought the fact that Thanos was driving the axe into Thor's chest was a great callback. And then Captain America with Mjolnir was just incredible.
Again, begs the question.
Yeah.
So what is Thor doing with Mjolnir in that?
Well, this goes back to the whole way that the timeline is constructed, because what they did to get the Infinity Gems, basically, if we were in the Back to the Future timeline rules, would have screwed up everything.
Yes.
Because Winter Soldier doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Dark World doesn't make any sense.
Makes sense.
Like, nothing works in the aftermath of that time heist.
I did like the fact they had to go and return the time stones. Mm-hmm. That was huge. But then it was like, you actually got to go and return everything.
Right.
Previous thing.
So if returning the stones to their moment of being pulled out, if that actually fixes all those time holes, then fine. But then Captain America does his thing, which potentially, the fact that he stays behind with Agent Carter creates this kind of time loop, potentially, or else divergent timeline.
So, another question. The actor at the end.
Yes.
The old Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
That was him with CGI.
Chris Evans?
Absolutely.
That was, yeah.
Oh,
that was
100% Chris Evans, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I was like, they got somebody else.
Oh, no. Totally Chris Evans. Okay. Yeah, yeah,
oh,
absolutely.
And one of the things, I thought that Captain America was worthy of Thor's hammer in this movie was because Thor was a bit less worthy.
Although, that's interesting. I'm not sure.
Yes.
I mean, it could be, but I loved, like, I don't think being fat makes you less worthy necessarily.
But he wasn't people.
It's
he
true.
Was playing
no,
video games
right.
with Corey.
It's true.
He had
it's true.
A lot of that before.
And, like,
but
he
I,
was even surprised that he was still worthy when he got
yeah,
there.
Yeah, but
like,
that was
worthy.
A great moment, though.
That is true.
Yeah.
But I buy that.
That was it. I did love that moment, though, with him, like, going, like, oh, sometimes it takes a minute, and then still worthy. But see, I thought that him getting the hammer back was, like, the fact that he got the hammer back, I felt, was the turning point for him as a character in this movie. Like, that was the moment where he's like, oh, I have to, like, I am this kind of heroic person that I've kind of shoved aside. Like, I am still, I do still have to do something here. Like, is there something for me to do?
Oh, and can Thanos lift the...
No, Thanos could definitely not lift the hammer. But I think Captain America, like, we knew in Avengers 2, like, he had...
Yeah,
I mean, the fact that he could catch Thanos' hand and stop it for a moment in Infinity War, like, you know, Cap has always been the guy that, like, if there was anyone that could, you know, have Mjolnir, it would be him. And so I think, like, the fact that he, like to me, it was the moment when he, like, pulls the shield on when all is lost and, like, I'm the only thing against this entire army.
Oh, yeah, I love
like,
that.
Like, that's the moment where he earns the right to
wield the hammer. But he's been using it before.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's after.
Well, that's true. Yeah. No, he has been using it before.
Yeah,
that's after the hammer.
It's after the hammer. Okay, you're right, you're right, you're right, yeah.
And I love that shot where him and Thor are fighting, and Thor has the hammer, and Captain America has the Stormbreaker.
Yes.
The Thanos Stormbreaker.
Yes, and they're like switching back and forth.
That's fine. You get the
title. Yeah. Now, Cap takes the hammer with him into the past. And then where does the hammer end up? We don't know.
He must have to return that to his timeline.
He must.
I think he must go back and return it.
Yeah.
That must be one of the items.
That's interesting, yeah.
But good point, though. You're right. I didn't even notice that.
Yes.
Yeah. That must be one of the ones he's returning. Otherwise, Thor's just screwed.
Right. Yes. So that means, but then potentially that means the hammer is back in its original timeline.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then the axe is what Thor has in Asgardians of the Galaxy.
Yes. Yeah. That's going to be so great.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. I think there's so much more to talk about, but we'll clip it going. There.
Yep.
All right. So if you haven't seen it, you shouldn't be listening to this. If you have seen it, I think we all want to see it again.
Yep. No, it'll be seen again soon.
It's going to make like $600 billion worldwide. Maybe not quite that much, but, you know,
I have a lot. About
yeah. Yeah.
This week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I'm always open. I'm open.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
I like this theory.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. So we'll cut it there. Back to our traditional podcast format, other than Avengers Endgame, is there any Hujima flips? Hujima fly? So Hujima flip is the British term for whatever you've been liking this past week that potentially,
Avengers. What have you been doing?
That
you would recommend to other people. Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But the movie,
the movie Into the Woods?
Yeah. So, all right. So, I should call it this. So, Kyla has just starred, I would say, in his first middle school, junior school, little school, whatever it is. Elementary school, thank
junior
you.
Junior school, little
Russian
school.
Into the Woods.
Some kind of school.
His first time on stage. He's been on screen a few times with me and Future Man, most well known, actually. Opening scene of Future Man.
Yes, indeed.
But this was his first time on stage. All singing, all dancing. And Into the Woods is great.
I saw it. It was great. Kylie was great.
Yep.
You rocked it. Yep.
And one of those funny movies. One of the funny things where, you know, you know that there are obviously a significant subtext to all these fairy tales.
Yes.
Like there's a Red Riding Hood and
Cinderella
and whatever else. There's nothing like illuminating the subtext of a story, having nine-year-olds saying stuff that has massive double entendre.
Yes.
And being slightly disconcerted.
A little bit concerned. just a touch, yes.
Which is actually very funny. Here we go, nine-year-old singing about, or ten-year-old. How old was Little Red Riding Hood?
Ruby is about nine.
All right.
I'd say.
Having a nine-year-old singing about after she has encountered the wolf, singing about... Oh, he showed me all these amazing things, and it was a little scary, but also quite exciting.
Right. it's just ever so slightly disturbing.
Creepy,
yes.
Quite frankly. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure is what the Brothers Grimm, or was it, who was it who wrote Little Red Riding Hood?
It is Brothers Grimm, isn't it?
Was it Grimm?
I think
it was
so.
Them, and there was the other, there was the other...
Some other fairy tale
people,
yeah.
Famous,
deeply
twisted, who wrote Little Mermaid.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right? It's
yeah.
a different...
It's a different...
Grimm, yeah, yeah. It was blank.
So one of those folks.
And I'm annoyed that I can't remember it, but yes.
No, it's not Christian.
Yes,
is it?
It is Alistair.
That could be your
Hans Christian.
Yeah,
it's Alistair.
Yeah.
So interesting. Anyway, it was great. Yeah. Obviously, Avengers. Obviously, Raising Hope.
Raising Hope. Everybody,
I know you love Raising Hope.
Raising Hope is the best.
Yes.
We obviously the Macroverse for us.
Yes. So we'll
head on the next version.
So should say, like, that is actually the primary reason that we haven't been podcasting is we've been super busy getting Macroverse ready to launch. So we'll have a lot more to say about that over the next few weeks and months. Some really interesting and exciting stuff going on that unfortunately we can't talk about right now, but we absolutely look forward to talking about it. And also, frankly, a little bit of a rethink of what the podcast should be and kind of what the format is, and or kind of multiple formats is. So we have more to talk about that. Actually, Adam's looking confused because this is mostly what I've been thinking about in regard to the podcast. more to talk about with that, and then we'll get back to you.
At least I'm looking confused. This is brand new.
This is brand new information.
I'm happy.
Yeah. So the basic idea is that, you know, I'll tell you at the same time that I'm telling this to Adam, but I'm thinking about, you know, it's like, I think this version of the podcast that we've done tonight and that we've done in the past is incredibly fun and definitely one that I think we should keep doing. And I think that there are some other components to what we could do that would also support kind of the goals that we have with Macroverse, the creators that we're working with mm-hmm. Macroverse, and that could kind of form a kind of a format that I haven't quite seen in other arenas, where we're potentially maybe doing this version of the show once a month and then a couple of other things kind of in between.
Yeah,
so I think there could be some fun variations to kind of bring into the mix that, you know, help you as hopefully our audience and also ourselves kind of do something that's a little more canonical and also a little more varied, but still kind of under the banner of storytelling and the things that we're doing.
I get where you're going. Bridge of Uruguay.
Oh, yes. Good Hujima flip indeed. Yes. So we recently watched. We haven't done the podcast in a while. So actually, I will make my Hujima flip having seen Seven Samurai about a week ago in the theater.
On the big screen.
Which was amazing. Yes. I mean, definitely top three. I think you said top one for
me.
You.
It's been my favorite film since I was 14.
Yeah. Yes. And definitely top three for me. It waffles in position, but in that for sure. Star Wars is one of my favorite movies, unquestionably. Star Wars 7 Samurai. And The Godfather is probably in my top.
If I had to pick a top three, it would be 7 Samurai, Godfather, and I'm not quite sure what else.
Yeah.
Star Wars is in the top 10 for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah, yeah. It's in the top 10 for me. Yeah.
What about you?
I would go with Theory of Everything is my first.
That's amazing.
That's a great one.
Yeah.
Yep. What else would you say?
Seen it. Nausicaa.
And I think
Nausicaa?
Oh, that's a great pick.
That's
a great pick. And I think for me, it's like, you know, I actually, like, as much as I love Star Wars, I don't think Star Wars is like the third best film of all time. It just has the kind of in the top three, the most important to me.
Yes.
Personally.
No, I would put Star Wars in the same category.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then I'd say something like Iron Man?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a thoroughly good top.
Absolutely thoroughly top two. So those are Hujima flips, and then I think I'll end on this, kind of coming back around to Infinity War. One of the thoughts I had coming out of the theater this week is, I think it's so funny because as much resonance and importance as Star Wars has to me, and I think to our generation, and will continue to have as just, you know, part of the lexicon of pop culture, I think Marvel has genuinely succeeded as kind of the most important franchise in the pop culture universe.
Thank you, everyone.
And just the resonance that those characters and those themes have with the kind of net current and coming generations is kind of what Star Wars was for us.
I think Harry Potter had that place for a bit, but it's interesting.
Yeah.
And one other thing for Avengers.
Yes.
If you guys have seen it, I obviously know, but everybody is asking the question, at Tony Stark's funeral, who is that kid to stab?
We all did have that thought, yes. Who is so there is a random kid at Tony Stark's funeral, and it is the kid from Iron Man 3, and I think that is, I mean,
that's awesome.
Obviously it's intentional,
yep.
So I think that kid is basically lined up to be the next Iron Man. And then I think the other thing which excites me is I think that, you know, it won't be the next Iron Man that we see, I don't think, but I think his daughter taking on the mantle of Iron Man, or as we were talking about, I think Iron Maiden, should be in the cards. There is a sorry to interrupt you, Kyler, but I'm going to keep going for 1 second. In the comics, the current Iron Man is actually forgot what her code name is because I'm not actually reading the series, but I'm aware of what's going on. But there's a girl called Riri Williams who basically, after Tony Stark's death, creates her own Iron Man armor, and she is sort of the Iron Man in the Marvel Universe right now, which is an interesting storyline. And she's a black girl, kind of from Harlem in the in college, you know, engineering school, and she, you know, kind of becomes kind of next generation Iron Man.
What?
And then there is a storyline where Tony Stark stays as the AI in the Iron Man suit, which I think could be a way to keep Robert Downey in the franchise, which you kind of be stupid not to.
But no, so they want to keep spending $50 million a movie.
You know, when you're making $2.1 billion on opening weekend, maybe you pay him a few hundred.
$1.2 billion.
You know, whatever. We've had some fun.
Yeah.
Sorry, Kylie. Your final thoughts.
One of the things, I think one of the next biggest Marvel superheroes.
Yes.
Captain Marvel. Mm-hmm. In the comics, her friend's daughter becomes a big superhero.
Who's that?
I forgot her exact name, but Captain Trouble.
Captain Trouble?
No, that's not her name.
Captain Marvel, Captain Trouble.
Yes.
No, Lieutenant Trouble. The daughter from Captain Marvel,
yes.
The African-American daughter, she becomes a big superhero.
Interesting. I wonder, can Captain Marvel get promoted? Could she be like Major Marvel?
She might
General
be,
Marvel?
She might even be the... I don't think she's the Iron Man. I don't think so.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So it's a black girl.
It's an African-American.
Right. Black Iron Man, black female Iron Man.
Interesting.
It's either they're doing both African-American girl as like Iron Man.
Right.
But yeah, she becomes a big superhero.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's interesting.
I wonder if that's where, of course, if you'd seen...
Yeah.
She calls her.
Yes,
she calls her.
Yeah.
That's why you were so confused. Yeah, but doesn't know.
Yeah, but I think just in the Iron Man world, you can't bring that kid from Iron Man 3 to the funeral and not have him have an important role. They also signed him to a 3-movie deal, so you know, just behind the scenes, there's a reason for that. So anyway,
I didn't want to blow one of those movies on this.
It's no,
Iron Man
absolutely
kills
not.
Thanos. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, no, it's pretty fantastic. That was an incredible moment where he does the snap.
No, because Thanos
he's
says,
I am inevitable.
Yeah, I'm inevitable. And he goes,
I am Iron Man. Yeah, which is a callback to the end of the first Iron Man movie, which is kind of a beautiful moment of the end of the beginning and the end of the end.
And there's this whole thing with like humans holding Infinity Stones.
Yes.
Where they die.
Yes.
And
yes.
Yet he has 6 of them.
Yes.
And
well,
it's
in his
fine.
Suit. In his suit.
It's true. Now, you make that point.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
If they contain, the power contained
yes,
in a glove.
Yeah, exactly.
It still seems convenient.
But the nanotech, I thought taking the stones was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah.
That's one. Oh, no, he has a suit. Never mind. Because he grabs them from Thanos' hand.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
And it's his glove.
It's his glove, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
On that note, good night. We'll be back.
Bye.